What up, though? It's your boy TJ, the mayor.
It's Mikey Shu.
And here at the Land You're Playing podcast, we want to send our deepest condolences to Kylie Rendina's family. Unfortunately, she passed recently, and we want to dedicate this show to her.
Yeah, man, it was one that hit home, you know. She was an amazing person. She was a wife, mother, friend, a daughter. Super unfortunate. And Pete, you know, we love you. Blake, Enzo, you know, our hearts just breaking for you.
You're definitely in our thoughts and prayers, and we want to go ahead and give you guys let's do a moment of silence, a Land You're Playing moment of silence. Wheels up.
Wheels up. I'm ready, bro. I stay ready.
Wheels up.
I love how he said Cali style. Mm-hmm. I still feel like I'm out there right now. Still on that Cali vibe.
I'm vibing with you, man. We had a couple sunny days. I'm out here vibing with you,
man. You guys had a beautiful day.
We had a couple beautiful days, man.
You guys had one day. It was nicer here than there.
You know.
Where I was, at least.
Oh, this is Michigan, dog.
You know what I mean? Unpredictable.
Mikey, one time for your mind, man. Shout out to Sly Piper, man. And yours truly. You know what I mean? And DJ Geese. Dan Dan Montana.
You guys killed it. I appreciate you, boys. I feel like I need my shades on. Where's my shades at? And my crip socks.
6 foes on the curb.
Oh, I love it.
That's your boy right there, though. It's the prince of the city. Okay, they ain't ready for that. Let it play. We taking off right now, man. You know what I mean? Hey, you always say the past, the past, man. You know what I mean? But I'm telling you right now, though, if I ever come back out, these motherfuckers better watch out. I got grown man shit on my mind.
Can't wait to book you for a show.
Motherfuckers better watch out. I'll be the only motherfucker that starts his career at 40 years old. I don't give a motherfucker.
Listen, crazier things happen. Bro. Jelly won New Artist of the Year at 39.
You know what, man? You know what? Okay. Let's talk about that for a quick second. Because you know what I honestly feel? I feel like when you sing, it's more acceptable to have your career starting
and rapping,
you're older.
You think so?
Just because, or you mean just singing or rapping, everything? Just because culturally, what we do in hip hop is we always like date people. You can only be young.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And every other like rock and roll, country, all this stuff, like, oh, you're seasoned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're still touring and it's cool as fuck, right? But I think, though, with Jelly Roll, man, shout out to Jelly Roll and all these fucking awards, man. I think with Jelly, crazy. I think he's really, a lot of people was making it cool before him, but he's really making it cool for people our age, because we're all around the same age, mm-hmm. late 30s, like he's really making it cool for us right now and feeling that we still have that youth. I feel like when I listen to his shit, I feel like I still got the motherfucking youth.
You can say late 30 for yourself. I'm mid 30.
No, motherfucker, you creeping.
I'm 35 still for a few more months.
You creeping on a come up.
Talk to me in July and I'll say late 30.
I'll tell you what, after I seen your uncle perform at his 50th, I was like, oh, no, dog, like 50 is the new fucking 25.
It really is. I really do believe that, though. We're living longer as people. For the most part, you know what I mean?
Like, they say that there's a person alive right now that's going to live to be 150 years old?
I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, depending. Oh, I wouldn't want to. 150? No, not with. No, I know not me, but I'm saying like things are going to be different. I don't know.
I agree.
But I want to, Mikey Shu, West Coast Mikey.
West Coast Mike.
You got a little tan and shit.
Bro, did you notice it?
Yeah, you got a little tan.
Bro, I got burnt a couple days. I got burnt. You should see the hillbilly tan I have right now because it's terrible.
I know 100%. I know Mikey Shu. I know that Mikey Shu had on some shorts. He had on some socks, not low cut socks, just your regular cut low socks. You had on a black t-shirt. And you was out there in that sun. I know it. I know that you wasn't out there in a bathing suit. You know what I mean? What, you had a hat on. I know you had a hat on.
You're going to be surprised, bro.
What?
I started every morning walking out in the backyard. No socks, in shorts, no hat, and a wife beater every morning. Sitting in that sun.
Doesn't it feel better when you walk outside first thing in the morning? You know how me and you both was, I think we were on the same dude where we were talking about like different shit, like the cold showers in the morning.
Yep. And remember grounding. We were
talking about that and grounding yourself and all that stuff. Robert Joe's been telling me about that for years when I lived in Arizona.
Especially when you travel. It's really important to ground when you get to a new city. It doesn't matter where you're at. Like, and I do believe it does, I don't know, reset you, or it does something like.
I don't, you know what? Maybe not if I'm here and then all of a sudden now I'm in Kalamazoo.
Right, right.
But I'm if saying, I'm like in leaving, like a different time zone or a different soil, you know what I mean? Like if I'm in Alabama, if I'm in Atlanta, you know what I mean?
Yeah, have to.
So I feel you on that. I feel you on that. Robert Joe tried to tell me that shit for years, man. He actually gave me this book. It was about energy. And it was like everything that he said in 2015, 16, 17. Like now, 2023, 2024, I'm like, holy shit, he was way ahead of me with this energy shit. And it's everything he said is like something that I actually feel. From the cold plunges to the grounding yourself, like going outside and stepping in your grass in the morning. Bro, my neighbors, they got to love me. They be seeing all this beef. All this beef in my skimpies. In my skimpies. Get out the cold shower. I rarely do it. I don't do it before. Like I want to be clean.
Yeah.
Then I go outside and step in my grass. I do every fucking morning. Sam thinks I'm nuts.
Sam's going to get on that wave. She's going to appreciate it.
Sam better not get out there in a motherfucking drawers stepping on a motherfucking. You crazy?
Neighbors be loving you guys.
You crazy?
But I'm saying like grounding at least. Sam could have a robe on or whatever she does.
We got privacy fences. She can go in the backyard.
My uncle's got, out in Cali, you know, the brick walls are big out there.
Yeah.
The block walls.
The cinder block.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. I had them when I lived out there. The stucco, I hate them now.
Bro, I had a weird thought while I was there because I don't know why I love getting drunk and pissing on the wall behind the garage. Like, that's my go-to spot when I'm there. I don't know why. But, like, I swear I'm going to start piss portraits. I'm not kidding, because every time I piss on the wall, like, I try to do a new design.
Okay.
And then even when the piss runs down the wall, it still looks like a crazy piss graffiti piece. Like,
okay.
And I took a picture.
Okay. I'm not mad at it.
I'll send it to you.
I'm not mad at it, Mikey.
I think it could be a trend.
I can only see.
That's her.
I can see you and Riot as, like, the new version of the Adam Sandler. Where he finds out he's got the son.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's like pissing on the newspaper.
He's like, what's he say? So, tell him your name. We'll draw it on the wall. Mind your business. Yeah. I can totally see you and Ryan.
Oh, no. He loved it. He loved pissing outside on the wall.
Oh,
well,
man.
Actually, he wouldn't piss on the wall. He'd piss. It was a little crazy. He'd piss on. There's a sidewalk alongside of the garage. And it goes alongside and on the back side of the garage.
Okay.
And he'd piss on that corner. I'm like, bro. Either sprayed in the grass or on the wall, not on the sidewalk. But he liked the sidewalk, so that's what he did.
You can't tell Riot nothing.
No.
Can't take Riot nowhere.
No. And I stepped in it once. Had my shoes on. Shoes on.
Oh, I was about to say, was you finding your energy?
No.
You was finding
That'd
your
be
energy?
Some Riot energy.
And you was barefoot and was like in the middle of your chi. All of a sudden you step in
Riot piss.
And Riot's piss. Oh shit, bro. So our last pod, we was, you know, we were mentioning that you were going out, and you were saying one of the things you're gonna do is as soon as you touch down. So was it everything that you hoped for when you first touched down, that first in and out experience?
So first we hit Stater Brothers. So my uncle's house is here, right? Stater Brothers is here, grocery store.
Okay.
In and out's here. So we hit Stater Brothers, kind of went around the house, hit In and Out. Straight to the house.
What's Stater Brothers?
So it's like a local grocery store.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of
okay.
Like a chain highlight.
Right, okay.
I think through maybe, I don't know if they're just in California, but
mm-hmm.
It's like that. Yep. So that's where we always shop.
Your Bash is there and your, yep. Yeah. They got Bashes out there or no?
I didn't see one.
I know that's West Coast, but I don't know how far West Coast. But anyway, I get what you're saying though.
Stater Brothers, then In-N-Out first thing.
Okay.
Before we even hit the house.
So what happened? What'd you do? What'd you get?
I mean, you know me, man. It was just a single with cheese and ketchup only. Fries. Did try every shake this time. They got strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. Tried all three of them.
What do you think?
Love them. I do want to put in a request to get a banana one. I love banana shakes. You know what I mean? Nothing yes. better than a banana shake to me.
Yes. You know, that's
and so I follow the owner. It's crazy. The owner is a woman named Lindsay Schneider. Follow her on Instagram. She's actually a badass. Like, I shouldn't say it surprisingly, but she like plays in a she plays bass in a band. Like, she owns In-N-Out. So I want to send her a little DM.
Does
like,
she
hey,
own
can we do a banana
In-N-Out, or does she own?
No,
a
she
chain?
Owns all. They're not a franchise. They're she owns oh, all. Oh,
they're
every
owned
In-N-Out
by
there.
Person?
Yeah, every In-N-Out there is. So her parents. I just learned that I don't know if they started it, but her parents passed in a plane crash, and then she stepped in. But yeah, she owns all of them. Like, they don't franchise at all. Kind of like Raising Cane's. So like, he owns all of them.
So we probably don't want to give her a Land Your Plane shirt.
I would love to. Why wouldn't we?
Her parents died in a
plane crash. Yikes.
Eee.
I mean, I want to... It's going to sound weird. I don't know. I was going to say I want to give her anything I can, but I don't mean it in a weird sexual way. But
it wasn't
I
weird
just make
and
that
sexual
connection
until you said that you don't mean it in a weird sexual way.
Because it was coming out weird
Listen,
to me.
Whatever you had, whatever Barry gotcha. White song you had playing in your head.
April asked me, she's like, are you in love with her? Because I was like, I was on it. I swear. I was on Instagram and I was like showing her and my uncle and my father-in-law. I'm like, look, she plays bass in a band. Like, she's a badass. And April's like, do you have a thing for her? Like, April's just fucking with me. But
you know what? Shout out to April, man. Shout out
yeah,
to
no,
April.
For sure.
April keeps everything fucking hilarious and fun. I swear she does. She does. I swear she fucking does. Shout out to April, man.
Shout out to April. I wouldn't just be a lost little man running around eating chicken nuggets without her.
I mean, you're still eating chicken nuggies, and you're still a little bit lost, but not as lost. I get it.
I'm lost with a little direction and guidance. Oh, man. But I honestly, I've been going to Cali for 10 years now. This trip, I ate more In-N-Out than I ever have.
You're there longer, too.
All, yeah. And I made sure that the night before we left, because they don't open until 10:30 in the morning. And I had to leave the house at 10 to go to the airport. So I'm like, I'm hitting In-N-Out and getting one for the breakfast. And then I got all drunk and ate it the night before. But I still got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what's well, what city were you in?
Covina, it's called.
Oh, you did tell me that. See, because it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just a Cali thing. Like in Arizona, like they're all 24 hours, but.
They close at 1:30 in Cali.
Like all Cali?
I don't know. I don't want to say or that in Covina, 1:30.
Just because it's like, I think because Arizona, you have like all them five cities that all butt up to each other. So everything's always busy because the in and outs are always right off the expressway. Mm-hmm. And if you know, well, you've been to Arizona a bunch of times, mm-hmm. so you know how you got the loop system. Like you take the expressway to go everywhere. Like you
have to pretty much.
I mean, it's, you don't even drive back roads there, right? Because you have all the cities that butt up. I think that's why they're open 24/7 because they're right off the fucking expressway. And I honestly believe, and we talked about this a little bit last time, I honestly believe that there's so many Ubers and Lyfts and it's so cheap to put in the stop. Like, Bro, I'm telling
you. See the sign? Let me pull in.
Half the cars, every time I've been there, half the cars have been, have like one of them Lyft signs in it.
No way.
It, 100%.
That's cool. Yeah.
100%. And I still, I don't get it. But you didn't try the animal style when you was there?
No, because you know I'm so picky, man. I don't even know what animal style means. You know?
That's why you just try it.
I can't try it. I did almost try oysters on the Hef Show.
Oh, you was a bad motherfucker. You did that.
I didn't though. I tried mussels last time, and I've tried that squid octopus thing that I told you about.
You tried that again?
No. Nope. Had crab legs though. Had a whole crab.
Where was you at that they had them half shell oysters though? Like where you got to like they already shuck it for you. You just got to scoop it, right?
Yep. Rick like got them like twice because he loves them. Yeah. We went to the seafood spot. Where the hell were we? Anaheim.
Okay.
And then San, I don't know if it's Pedro or Pedro.
San Pedro?
Yep.
San Pedro.
And he got them there too. And that's where I tried that squid thing a year or two ago.
See, I fucked up in Clearwater, Florida one time. I love fucking conch fritters, man. Conch meat. That? So up here they call it conch. But that's not how they, you go down south and say conch if you want to. You get beat up. But conch, so you know that shell that you pick up and put up to your ear to hear the ocean? That's conch. The thing that lives inside there. So, like, I like them as, like, conch fritters. Or, like, it's basically like hush puppies with that meat inside them.
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? They're, like, a nice batter. You dip them in the sauce and shit. And, like, I fucked up because I got those. I was drunk, too. I was drunk. I know. Big fucking, right? Yeah, big surprise.
Big surprise.
Fucking Clearwater, right?
Drunk. Clearwater.
So I'm sitting there and I got the conch fritter and then I seen somebody doing the oyster thing and I'm like, I'm going to fuck with that. Because I always, and I was in my 20s, you know what I mean? But I was always like, dog, like, I hear you fuck like an animal on these things. You know what I mean? It's that type of vacation, by the way. And I bit into it. And you're not supposed to bite into them. And it fucked it up for like the first experience. Because I couldn't, the rest of that sitting, I couldn't get past that texture. You
can't wipe it. Yeah.
You can't wipe that out. Now, I had them since then. I had them up in Rochester at this oyster bar and it was real good and shit. But yeah, you're not supposed to bite into them because it fucks it up like the texture and shit. You're supposed to just slurp them down, swallow them whole. And they're a fucking natural aphrodisiac. Get you all up. Mikey, get you all love spelled up. I see you looking at me right now, and you don't want to. You don't want to. You. I know that you don't want to. You looking at me like you don't want me to go there. You don't want to comment, but I'm putting it out here.
I mean, I'm just for Sam's benefit, looking out for her.
Oh,
I don't want to embarrass Sam ever.
No. She don't. Well, never mind. That's a whole nother.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Speaking of love. That's why we didn't even address why old Drewski ain't here today. Drewski's out looking for love still. Trying to find him a date for IWR. Coming up soon. So, yeah, Drewski will be back with us next week. He's looking for love this week.
Oh, man. You know what? I hope he finds some love out there. You know he's going to be brand new as soon as he finds it. You know that, right?
I'm not ready for it.
Bro, you know he's going to be Brent. Like, if you think he acts the way he acts now...
I'm not ready for it.
All it's going to do is it's going to take up a little bit of a time and settle him down just enough to where he's going to walk in his bitch like Conor McGregor. You know how Conor McGregor does the walk?
Mm-hmm.
That's how he's going to walk in here. You know that, right?
I do know that. And that's why I say I'm not ready for it. Yeah. I'm not ready for it.
Damn.
And he's going to have that accent and everything.
You know he is because he does actually do a pretty decent accent too.
He can do accents.
And he can fight a little bit. That motherfucker might get back in the motherfucking ring. I mean, he might not get back. He might just get in the ring.
He did give us his word.
Okay.
To do one of our specials that he would fight for us to be his corner man.
He did.
He gave us his word.
He did say that.
I don't know.
Is this going to be a Foxy Boxing thing, though? I feel like it's going to be more of a Foxy Boxing thing.
I mean, I hope not. I hope not.
Oh, man. Another speaking of love moment, I just have to throw this out there, bro. We ain't kicked it. We ain't talked. Like, let me tell y'all people something, man. When like, this is my homie. This is my brother. This is my motherfucking road dog, Ace Boon Coon, the whole motherfucking shit, right? But when he's on vacation, I don't fuck with that energy at all. I don't fuck up because I don't want, because when me and him get to talking, we always go, like, there's so much shit that we do together and so much shit we're involved in, different shit. I don't want him to actually feel like that we have to go there. You know what I mean? And so I, you know what I mean?
It's crazy because it's the longest I've been gone. So it's the longest I ain't seen or talked to you.
Yeah. And I, you know what I mean? But while he was gone, bro, we was out here. Mikey, I got, bro.
What happened?
Bro, father-in-law moved to town.
I still can't wait to meet that man.
Sam, you know, speaking of love, Sam knows that we got a man crush. You know what I mean? It's me and him. We drinking Coors. I don't even like Coors Light. We drinking Coors Light.
Just
8 Mile. Which, by the way, he told me, he was like,
I got a package for him, by the way.
With this Minnesota accent. He's from North Dakota. They all got the Minnesota accent. But with his North Dakota accent, he's like, oh, this is good. It's like, how much does it cost if I go to that liquor cabinet and get it? He lives across the street from, he's like, what if I go to the liquor cabinet and get it? So it's 30 a bottle. He goes, oh, no, we can't do, oh, that's expensive. Oh, no, you keep it. He didn't want to drink it anymore. He was like feeling, I said, no, man. As much 8 Mile as you want, I got you.
Yeah.
If you enjoy
it. Tell me no, guy.
You know what I mean? And he's like, no, too expensive for me. So we end up fucking drinking Coors like this last week. Put in a new fucking pool filter. Put in a new pool pump. My pool's literally open right now. It's April. We just started getting up. We had a week off of the pie. You've been gone for 10 days. And we started just, I got a 5x3 foot hole in my yard for like, not irrigation. What's that called?
I can fit in that hole.
My neighbors probably think that we're doing some wild shit. We're trying to bury some shit. I got too much water in one of my yards that pools up.
Get you in one of my yards.
Well, you know what I mean, though. Yeah, but like my house is, it's like separated in three different spaces.
I never know where to park.
Because the pool is in the driveway.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I need to feel driveway. Like, you got like that other little side parking
Nobody
area.
Used that. Nobody uses that.
I know, but sometimes I feel like I want to.
Yeah, well, you're VIP.
I never do. Mikey, I just circle it and then VIP park in the driveway. Appreciate it.
But yeah, man, we've been doing some motherfucking projects. Sam ain't happy about it. And this motherfucker had the audacity. So this is what I'm getting to. This motherfucker had the audacity to tell me. Yeah, I went and got, by the way, he's a weed smoker. Arizona, it's legal. He just moved here from Arizona. This motherfucker tells me, he goes, I don't even know where he goes. He gets him some weed. He's like, yeah, I'm not very impressed by Michigan weed. And I said, his name's Vaughn. I said, Vaughn, don't you tell nobody else that. You don't ever say no shit like that again. Especially out loud, they will prove to you time and time again. Don't say that. I said, give me 1 second. I go in my little stash. I grabbed in the motherfucking church. I grabbed in the motherfucking, shit. I'm having a brain fart. The shit that you can put on the live resin.
Oh yeah.
Grabbing some of that. This motherfucker was high out of his mind within like 5 minutes. This motherfucker, that's
changed his mind.
Michigan, homegrown baby. That's right down the street. The next exit up. You know what I mean? Tell him all this shit. This motherfucker has been on a rampage ever since. He never had live resin before. He's never had vape before. He's only had gummies and weed.
Oh, wow. He's in for a treat here in Michigan.
I told him when Jelly Roll shit comes back, because that's the shout out to your uncle, but dog, that motherfucking, and I'm
get him a bag of both.
That motherfucking cherry roll put me all, I was telling him about it, put me all the way there. I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
We got to fucking sit down with him and smoke a joint.
I can't wait. I might just stay the night that night.
I was just about to say, is that dangerous that if me and you smoke a joint with him?
Yeah, no, I know. I mean,
he's from the 70s and 80s.
For sure.
right?
Danger written all over
from it. From North Dakota. They used to grow their own shit up there. You know what I mean? He lived on a farm. He used to grow all their
There's so shit. Many questions I have for this guy, though.
And, like, he came here with the audacity to say that Michigan weed wasn't that strong.
Because I've heard several people, some not even from here, say Michigan has the best weed.
Yeah. Yeah, including your boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I seen him say it on stage in Michigan.
Yeah.
And then the whole fucking place went up in smoke. I couldn't see him anymore.
Faded out. Thought it was a fog machine.
Hey, you remember that time? You remember that time when we was watching Trick perform and he just stopped the show and was like, what the fuck's going on with this motherfucker? Like, ain't nobody smoking weed?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was like, oh shit, we got to go closer to the stage. We can't see shit.
It's like a fog wall in front of us.
Yeah. Oh, man. I want to. We should have smoked.
Yeah.
This episode.
Should have.
Maybe we'll do it when Drewski comes back.
Yeah. I'm down for that. And by that time, I'll have us some a couple other things to try.
I'm going to try some shits. There I'm always going to try. Huh?
Yeah, okay.
No, for real. But
no, for sure. Got some more drinks coming. Getting batched up today.
The strawberry.
Yep.
Lemonade.
I didn't even call him back.
What flavors?
Just a strawberry lemonade right now.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
I fuck with that. Can we tell them what we're talking about or no? Okay, we'll tell them later. Some real cool
shit. I feel like all my shit's always like, yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, it's some real cool shit, though.
Feel weird.
It's real cool shit, though. Some shit we do got coming up, though. Let's switch some gears real quick because I want to make a couple of announcements. I talked to, first of all, shout out to Spooky Spooky Films, Stelio Stelliano. Like, this motherfucker is so incredible, dude. He did our intro, like, with us in a plane and all that shit. He's done so much work for me, for Mikey, like, for himself, all just everybody, man. He's just fucking incredible. And we did like a soft run getting some shit together for what we have coming up. We have some real cool fucking, we don't know what we're going to call them yet.
Field trips. We've been all over the place. Field trips, yeah.
Fucking pull-ups, fucking pod crashes. Shout out to Pod Crash Productions. That's us, by the way.
Layovers.
Layovers. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we got some cool stuff. Can we announce some cool stuff?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So we already have a couple people lined up. We have Derek Kazar, who you already have seen on this pod before. He was our special guest. He's also our sponsor. We're gonna do a on-site podcast, mobile podcast at his chiropractic place.
I think I'm gonna get adjusted while we're there.
Adjusted Health Chiropractic. I think I am too, because I'm scared. Drewski wants me to do it because I'm scared.
Are you?
Of the neck part. I've always been scared of the neck too. Part. Also, we have lined up Cal's Kitchen. Shout out to Partyville over there on M50. If you guys were fans of me when I used to try to rap, I got a whole fucking verse about M50, like the road M50.
Do you really?
You never heard that?
No.
I'm rolling down M50, doing a fuck 50, smoking those. You don't remember that? I talk about stopping at Partyville.
No.
Yeah, bro, before I even knew Cal.
Send it to me and Cal.
He had a whole thing about fucking stopping at Partyville, the whole fucking deal. It's only for the true fans, all five of them, bro. Like, I was lit. I was fucking lit. The
kids I want to be number lit. Six. Actually, can I be number eight? I'll get a couple. I'll recruit a couple more.
Recruit a couple before people
then,
before me.
And then I'll be eight.
I'll re-release the fucking Chronicles of Money Row, bro. We'll fucking.
I can't wait.
You know what I mean?
I want an autograph, too.
You know, like Rodrigo or Rodriguez or whatever his name is. Like, he even though he was fucking, he had the shit, he was famous. In the 70s, and he wasn't famous till the 2000s. Anyway, so we'll be at Partyville. We'll be cooking with Cal. Cal's Kitchen.
Cal Kizzy.
Also, we'll be talking to Alex Wellhausen at Larson's Bar. We're going to go there. We have a really, really special one. There's a couple more that I don't want to mention. I want to be, but there's really, really something special. Big shout out to Holly.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Holly is so... she runs, she's a pilot and she also runs a pilot school and manages, an airport, private airport down in Ohio. Yep. And, that's where we shot our intro at. And we're going to do one on her school. It was really, really cool. Like I nerd out talking about it because when we were walking through and she was showing us all that stuff, like dude, I was so intrigued. Like, I'm not smart enough to be a pilot, but I was like, oh my God, I can see why somebody is so, like, with all them engines broke down and all those different planes and those Cessnas and all this different shit. And we're not only going to do it at the facility, we'll be in the air as well. So I don't know if anybody's ever did a podcast in the air. I'm just saying.
I think we might be the first.
We might be the motherfucking first, man.
She owns like 5 planes or something. And she she works and builds all of these herself.
That's the wild shit.
So gangster.
That's the wild shit how she told us about, like, she'll buy a plane for like a couple of grand. Next thing you know, she built the motherfucker. Like, she'll buy some junk shit.
On her Instagram all the time, it's this ripped apart and like putting this back together and buying. She bought a new like propeller. Looked badass. It was like a nice black propeller. Was
yes.
She's a gangster.
Yes.
She really is.
I follow her on the Instagram, on the socials, on the face space.
Have to.
On the interwebs. I fuck with Holly, man. She got a lot of cool shit.
She's cool. She's real cool.
There's some more shit coming up, man, but I don't want to, like.
We got a bunch of shit. We're going to be busy, man. Be real busy. We'll have to figure it out. Fun. Oh, yeah. It'd be fun. It's busy.
The last one I want to mention is we'll be out in Put-in Bay. For Bash at the Bay, we're gonna do a live pod out there. We're also gonna be doing some interviews and some cool shit. And that's headlined by Jelly Roll on Wednesday and Hardy on Thursday. And I believe,
I think Wednesday and Thursday.
It's Wednesday and Thursday.
Makes me feel even better.
Oh, I'm so happy about
it. That's not a Friday and Saturday. I seriously had like a relief run across me when you just said Wednesday and Thursday. I'm like,
yes, that's why we're showing up Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's totally like a week thing. It's gonna be crazy. It's at the airport.
I don't like weekend shows.
I don't like them either, because it's all, because you have the
too much,
you have the people that are supposed to be there that are purposely there, and then you have the people that stumble upon it. The people that stumble upon things are always trouble.
They fuck it up
because they're not even there for that, so they don't appreciate it. And they're just, they didn't pay. You know what I mean?
Man, that was seriously, it hit me from my head to my toes. Relief that you said Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah, I don't look at calendars. I just know we got to do them and do it.
And I have to do a quick shout out to Put-in Bay Resort and Conference Centers and Put-in Bay Villas. That's where we'll be staying. Shout out to Caitlin, Kyle, Steve, all of them over there, man. That's where I used to work. A-Dub, he's the house DJ there, man. Everybody over there. I love that whole crew. Nick, the manager, everybody. That's where they took care of me for a couple of years. I lived out there, worked for them and everything. And that's where we'll be at. And that's where we're going to do the podcast. It's from
Put-in Bay Resort
Conference Center. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be dope, man. It's the best swim up bar on the fucking island, hands down. You can argue with me if you want, but it's the motherfucking, the Blue Marlin is the motherfucking spot, man. Yeah.
Only spot.
Yeah, I want to make sure we've been talking about some shit and we finally got some stuff in the works, man, and it's booked. And I wanted to share that with the folks.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Hell, fuck yeah. Let's take a little bit of a backspin. Mikey, you told me I had to watch the motherfucking WrestleMania.
Did you watch it?
Some of it.
What do you mean?
Because the shit's fucking long, bro. I couldn't get through 6 hours.
It's a 2-day event.
It's 2 days exactly.
Why didn't you text me and I would have told you which ones to watch?
Because I want to watch everything, man. You told me watch everything.
It was all important, actually. Actually, it was all important.
You told me watch. You even told me to watch. I tried to watch the leading up to shit, and I was like, okay, I can't do 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever it would have been.
I should have sent you like a program. You know what I mean? Like this.
I like that.
This segment, this one. I could have got you done in probably 2.5-3 hours.
You know what? Send that to me, and we'll talk about it again.
Okay.
Because I know you mentioned that was supposed to be my homework, and I fucked up the homework.
I always fuck up my homework.
Bro, we were fucking drinking Coors Light, smoking weed, and digging holes.
I don't even want to talk about how much I drank the last 10 days.
Well, let's talk about it.
I'm embarrassed by it, actually.
What the fuck? What are we doing? Just give me some stories, bro. What are we doing here? You got me fucking just talking because I'm drunk and high and over here. What was Rick and Rick up to?
I can tell you, because it's the most fresh in my mind, what Rick and Rick was up to the day we were leaving. Me and April and Riot go to breakfast. Mm. We got to leave the house at 10 a.m. So me and April and Riot left the house around 8:30, 8:45, go grab some breakfast. Rick, my father-in-law, didn't want to go. My Uncle Rick didn't want to go, so they stayed at the house. Okay. We go get breakfast. Hustle bustle time. We get back. I look at the table in the garage. There's a fifth sitting in the middle of the table, each drinking a beer. And I'm just staring at the bottle.
Was the fifth empty?
Yeah. It wasn't full to begin with, but it was empty. And I'm just staring at the bottle, thinking just about our day, not like thinking anything sideways.
Wait, were you guys supposed to fly that day? Like you said, your last day.
Oh, yeah. It was the morning we were leaving. We had to leave at 10 a.m. Me and April left at like 8:30, quarter to 9-ish or whatever to go to breakfast. Come back to pick Rick up to head to the airport. Come back to the garage. Fifth on the table, each drinking a beer.
No bueno.
One guy has nothing to do all day. The other guy has a lot to do today.
No bueno. That's what happens when you're the grandpa, though. You can do whatever you want.
And I'm just staring at the bottle, not mad, or I'm just thinking, trying to process this whole day ahead of me. And I'm just staring at it, and April's like, yep. You're thinking exactly what you're looking at is correct. That bottle's empty, and they're both drinking a beer. And Rick's like, I only had one or two shots in this beer. I'm fine. I'm like, I don't care at this point. I mean, I can't control you as a man. Traveling with Rick, he's still one of my favorite people in the world, but traveling with Rick is unique. So you know how TSA, empty out your pockets, you know, all this stuff.
I can see it. Yes. Okay.
Go so ahead. On the way there, me, April, and Ryan get through, no problem. I look back and Rick's being held up. I'm like, what is in his bag? Because every time we travel, something's in his bag.
Okay.
So he's standing there and he looks at me. He's like, I'm like, what is going on?
So they going, got, do they got him held up because what's on his person or because what's in his bag?
What's in his bag.
Okay.
So he just gives me the, I don't know. I'm like, this is great. So you go through his bag, and on his carry-on, he has the largest bottles of soap, shampoo.
Of course it would be like the whole time I'm thinking this.
No, it was nothing like crazy. But I'm like, bro, it's 3 ounces on carry-on. Like that stuff goes in checked bags. Didn't understand it. So then like he had his shaving cream, everything. So they're like talking to him. He's like, ah, just throw it away. Just throw it away. I got to get on this flight. So he throws that away. That's on the way there. On the way back, empty out your pockets. The typical TSA shit. Mm-hmm. So he's standing in the thing that you got to put your arms over your head. Mm-hmm. Like, sir, everything out of your pockets? He's like, yep. Didn't even question it. Like, sir, are you sure? And he's like, patting his pockets. He's like, oh, my wallet. Had his wallet in his pocket. It was just chaos traveling with this man.
Do you think it's because he's retired now? And so, like, his give a fucks, like his care, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, typically, people don't think the way that me and you think. We're hustling and busting. Like, we think about everything strategically. Boom, 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 to get to the next point. You think, like, once you hit that point, yeah, I can see the way you're looking at it. I mean, you're like, no, he's been like that his whole fucking.
The last time we took him to California, we went to Universal. We get on the Harry Potter ride. They say phones, everything in your pockets, nothing in your hands. We're all sitting in the ride. I'll never forget. I look over because you sit sideways. You're all in a row because it's like one of those moving ones with the screens and all that shit.
Yeah.
I look over at Rick and he's like, had his phone in his hand. Like this dude just doesn't follow directions at all. Just does what he wants.
I don't, maybe that's just
I Rick. Love it. And I'm in like I maybe that's find just, humor in it.
Well, maybe that's just Rick though, because you got to think though too. Like Rick's old. Like what's Rick like? 60?
63.
You know what I mean? So like they don't fuck with all this shit that we fuck with. You know what I mean? Like they don't
follow directions.
Okay, you're right.
Phone in your pocket. Everything out of your pockets.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying to help brother Rick out, man.
He's literally one of my favorite people in the entire world. I love that dude.
He's an awesome dude.
I was with him for 10 days. I don't get sick of that. I don't get sick of that guy because he makes me laugh so hard all the time. I can't even get into all the shit. I'll tell you after the show, but that dude is one of my favorite dudes in the world. So I don't get sick of him, but it's just funny how he moves.
Can I tell you a secret since Drewski ain't here?
Yeah.
All right. So on the rankings of my favorite Albermans, All right. April is my favorite album. She's a shoemaker.
She's a shoemaker.
But my favorite Alberman out of the Albermans. Now she's a shoemaker. She's my favorite. Rick is definitely my second favorite Alberman.
Since April's a shoemaker, Rick's definitely my first favorite Alberman. Then Drewski.
Then Drewski. Sorry, Drewski. But number three is cool. You know what I mean? You made the top five. I mean, some people don't even put Pac in the top five. You know? Sorry. I didn't mean to say that out loud. I'm just saying, like, some people don't even put,
you know,
Biggie or Jay in their top five. Like, top five's good, Drewski. You're my top three Albermen.
Top three?
I don't know. I don't know if I know any Albermans, any other Albermans, but
those are the only two I know since April's no longer one.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no longer. No disrespect. I didn't mean that like that.
No.
I just meant, like, out of the Alberman family. That yeah. came out of the Alberman family. I don't know. When Drewski's out there finding love, he might be one of the on the new school love, and he might take some chick's last name. You never know. Shit's different now. Dating scene's different now. I don't know what Drewski's out there doing. It definitely is a new thing. I seen it on the interwebs, and it was fucking crazy to me.
I don't know how I feel about it.
To each its own. Yep, that's
when you have kids. Yeah, when you have kids, it gets a little messy.
It does. Like, my kids have my last name, and Sam doesn't yet. And, like, that's the biggest thing to me is that, like, our whole family, as a family, we're gonna share the same name.
Yeah.
Same last name. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That, like, means a lot to me.
It's like your tribe. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep.
Makes sense.
But, I mean, hey, whatever type of love Drewski wants to find, I'm cool with it, man. I'm cool. I just want him to find love, man. Have you got any DMs? I haven't got any DMs.
For Drewski's love?
On the Land You're Playing podcast, Instagram, we were looking for DMs for somebody to go to IWR with him. He's an IWR type of guy. Like, don't hit us up. Listen, people, don't hit us up. If you do hit us up, don't hit us up trying to do some old dumbass shit, okay? Drewski is an IWR type of guy. If you're not that type of girl, then don't even try.
Keep it moving.
You know what I mean? Keep it moving. But yeah, we got to find him a date. When's the next IWR?
I don't know. It's coming up soon.
It is coming up in about a good, about 3-4 weeks, I think.
I think so.
We're in April right now. They have one in May. Is it Cinco de Mayo? Is that the next one?
I'm not sure. Don't quote me. They used to do Cinco de Mayhem.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayhem. I remember that.
I don't know if they're doing it this year or not. So don't quote me. I have to look it up because I don't know, honestly.
We'll look it up. Shout out to Gary, man.
And they just announced Russell Fest.
I seen that. What's that all about? Because you're in the know on that. I'm not as in the know. What's that?
I was out of town, so I didn't get to read up too much on it. But it sounds like a whole like wrestling Comic Con type thing.
Is it going to be like live events though too?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Where they mash everything together?
That'd be great.
Dude, what's your favorite wrestling? WrestleMania moment, like in history. I asked you this. Let me put some context behind it because when I was going back to try to watch WrestleMania, I got Peacock, so I didn't know that on Peacock, like they have like all these different things that you can watch, like the best of, best WrestleMania moments. They have best like Rock moments. They have it broke down. Like there's a bunch of different shit, and I forgot a lot of this shit that happened. And I've been out of wrestling for a while. But yeah, just that's what sparked my interest. Like, man, how iconic. This shit was so fucking iconic.
It's so back, dude. Like, you got to watch it because wrestling is back, finally.
What's your favorite?
WrestleMania moment?
WrestleMania moment.
Man, I'd have to take it back to, I think it was WrestleMania 13. And it was Stone Cold versus Bret Hart. And it was like the double flip. Like Stone Cold came in as the heel, which is the bad guy, so mm-hmm. people that don't know. And then by the end of the match, he was the babyface, good guy. Bret Hart was the bad guy. And that kind of created Stone Cold Steve Austin. That was probably my favorite WrestleMania moment. There's a lot of good ones, but that one sticks out to me as most important.
They had a really good special about him, too, and part of that WrestleMania thing on Peacock. They had a really good one on, like the Ultimate Warrior, Like when Hulk Hogan was coming from the regional thing. See, I didn't know about all the history of this. Like before, like the regional, like wrestling was regional.
Territories and shit.
Territories. Oh, yeah. I didn't know about the territories. And then they filed like Hulk Hogan, like being like kind of like, I don't know what, crossover? Maybe. Yeah. Is that what you would call it? You know what I mean? Where it was like the first time where it was really, you were going from one territory to another and they were merging shit. Like they had a whole, like, yeah, they had a whole thing on McMahon's, like all this shit. And I didn't know the history of that. When I started watching it, it was already what I was already watching. You know what I mean? I think I want to say like I remember like Andre the Giant and shit like that. But like I said, like the fucking We Are the Nation of Domination, like that shit, man. Like Farouk and all that. Yeah, man. Like that's my earliest memories. And I don't even know what year. I don't even know how old I was. But just remembering that shit, I never really, like, did a deep dive into where all this real, like, the wrestling federation really where came
kind of started,
from,
yeah.
Where it started. I didn't know it was all regional. It was territories. It was some real fucking gang shit.
Crazy.
Like, it was fucked up if you crossed over, like, you know what I mean?
And then Vince started buying up the territories. And
yeah. It was some
kind of, like, went against what his dad wanted. Like, his dad didn't want to, like, his dad would have kept it, like, in territories.
They were talking about that, too, you know, about how Vince his dad, like, how if his dad knew that what he was going to do, he would have never sold in the company. They were talking about that because Vince was, like, the commentator guy or whatever. And they were like, well, Vince said that. He was like, if my dad known what I would have done, he would have never sold me the company. Crazy. Which is wild, man. Yeah, there's some. I got so intrigued in the history, I didn't get to watch all the fucking WrestleMania that you told me to watch because I started fucking doing deep dives, man. And you know, hey, man, Pops is in town, man. I was doing smoking some weed, man. And when you deep dive on some, especially when you're smoking, you do a little, you know, some deep diving on some. Speaking of deep, man, and this whole subject, I gotta give our brothers a fucking big shit, dude. Shit Gets Deep podcast. They have one of the coolest episodes. I remember painting the girl's nursery, and it took me about 3 days. And I remember I started off with listening to Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights. Great fucking book. Great book. A lot of gems dropped in that book that we can relate to. After that, I started listening to Shit Gets Deep podcast. Catching up on things that I just, cause they were doing 2-3 hours every fucking week, dude. Fucking gangsters. Tyner and Beaker were fucking killing it. You know what I mean? And there's so much stuff that, I mean, really 3 hours a week. Like I couldn't keep up with my own stuff and doing all this other stuff. And so I was going back to old episodes and they have a wrestling episode that is fucking epic. Epic.
So it's not the one that Tyner does the promo, is it?
No, it's before that one.
So I didn't even see that one yet.
You haven't seen the one where he fucking comes out and does the whole bidet? I've seen the
promo one.
The fucking Lux Bidet fucking wrestling promo?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's not their first one.
But I didn't see that one.
They have one before that, that when I say it's a deep dive, I was like, oh, shit.
And then Spooky. Beaker was at WrestleMania 3.
Yes. Was it WrestleMania 3?
The one Andre at the Silverdome.
Yes, the Silverdome. That's 3. Yeah.
Beaker was there.
Yes, he talks about all this shit.
Crazy.
I didn't know it was 3, though.
I'm like, that's the WrestleMania.
It's 3?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, now I feel like I need to get fact checked, but I'm pretty 98%.
No, it's just now Beaker's
older. Because we're at 40.
Now Beaker's older than me 40. In my head. Even though Beaker's my age, like now he's older than me in my head.
No, it has to be because if we're at WrestleMania 40, just passed, WrestleMania 3 is about right. I'm pretty positive.
Yeah, we're talking about 37 years ago.
I'm 99.8%.
Yeah, Beaker's in his 40s. That would make sense.
And he was young, yeah.
That would make sense. Damn, bro.
And that was the WrestleMania. They were going for broke on that one. Like, if that failed, they were fucked.
That was it.
Turned out all right.
They turned out all right.
Stephanie McMahon, real quick, came back to this WrestleMania.
Okay.
Because Triple H is like head of creative.
Yeah. Are they still married?
Yep.
Okay.
I know there was some controversy.
Yeah.
They're still married.
Okay.
Vince controversy, all this shit. This was the first WrestleMania no McMahon was like on the payroll or involved in planning of anything. But Stephanie was there.
Okay.
She came out to introduce night one.
Okay.
Which was so badass.
That makes sense because there was a thing that came across when I was looking all this shit up, and it had, there's a segment just on Triple H and him, where he's trying to take WrestleMania right now, or where he's trying to take wrestling right now.
And he's killing it.
They had like a 10, 15 minute thing. Dude, I'm telling you, I never open up Peacock. Never. I fucking
I love to meet that dude just to pick his brain a little bit.
I never opened up my Peacock act until you told me that. And I'm like, oh shit, there's all that shit on there? Because it's owned by, what is that, NBC or whatever?
And then.
Which owns all, yeah.
Next year, WWE Raw is going to Netflix.
I seen that too, bro. Hey, is there a, so what's the nights now? It's Friday night,
Friday, Monday,
and Monday.
I still don't even watch like Raw and SmackDown because it, I think it's on, I don't even know what it's on, but I don't have whatever it's on. But once it's on Netflix,
well, it's on Peacock,
but not live like that night. Like, you can't turn on Peacock on Monday and watch Raw.
NBC, damn, that's crazy.
I know, it's weird, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's why I can't watch it right now,
okay.
But once it's to Netflix, every Monday in my house, Raw is going to be on. Mark my words.
What if Riot wants to play Plants and Zombies?
I don't give a damn. Riot's got his own bedroom.
That's when you pull out the TV next to the TV.
But if he doesn't want to watch Raw with me, I'll be heartbroken.
Did you guys watch WrestleMania together?
We did. The whole house did. April watched it too.
Oh, does she? She watches wrestling?
No.
But she was in the
room. She was in the room watching wrestling with me.
Okay.
She's a good sport. Yeah. Speaking of combat sports, real quick, I'll touch on this and we can move on. Oh, while I was gone, UFC 300 happened.
Okay.
Was epic.
Tell me about it.
Best fight of the night, Max Holloway fighting Justin Gaethje in the BFM title fight.
Okay. I've heard of Gaethje.
Max was winning this whole fight. I don't care if it's spoiler. It already happened. Everybody knows about it now. Max was winning that fight. Max is such a gangster.
Oh, shit. Wait a minute. I know what you're about to say. Yeah. Yes, and you know, just to put it in context, I'll let you finish. I won't spoil it. Just to put it in context for the people that are listening, the people that are watching, I'm not a UFC guy. I don't diss UFC. I pay attention to boxing. That's what I used to do. Like, that's my shit. But I heard about this fucking toe-to-toe, and I'll let you take it from here. I was like, that's the most gangster shit that I've ever fucking heard in my life.
Max has done this, and I watched Max fight. In April, she'll never look at Max the same because Bronco took me as his guest to the UFC when it was in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be commission only at the official, like the real weigh-ins, because they always do a weigh-in the next or that night as like a ceremonial, but it's already fake. They're already weighed in, made weight. It's just for the fans. He took me to the real weigh-ins. So Max came out, and actually Bronco, there's a picture of Bronco that's all over the internet where he's holding up the UFC towel because Max had to strip completely to make weight.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, April's asking me how it was. And Max was fighting one of my favorite fighters, Jose Aldo. Max beat him. But I'm like, she's like, how was everything? I was like, everything was great. I'm like, Max was grumpy. Understandably, because he's cutting weight. Anytime you cut weight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it. Boxing world, same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I've never done it, but I imagine it's brutal. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're not in a great mood. Like, Max is a little grumpy. Anyways, I don't even know why I went on that. Max beat my guy, so I got to watch him fight. Max, in so many, like, there's been a few fights, he's pointing to the center of the octagon, like, let's go, and just toe-to-toe.
Mm-hmm.
So he, one more quick Max, he's fighting another one of my guys, Brian Ortega. He was beating the shit out of Brian. During the fight, Max is coaching him how to block the punches that he's going to throw at Brian, which is insane to me.
What?
He throws a punch, hits Brian. Then he grabs Brian's hands and puts it up here and, like, teaching him how to block these punches. That's how crazy Max is. And a nice guy. So he's like trying to help the dude that he's beating the shit out of. And he knows he's beating the shit out
of. That's gangster. That's what I'm talking about. That's gangster. Okay, okay, okay.
Several fights, he's pointing to the center of the octagon like, let's go. And he just throws. He's winning that fight. I didn't get to see all the whole fight as it happened, but I heard he was winning 4 out of the 5 rounds. They were in the 5th round, last 10 seconds.
Yep.
He points to the center.
Yep.
So he has everything to lose at that point.
Yep.
Because Justin touches you once, you can go to sleep.
Yep.
Points to the center, and they throw. 1 second left, he connects and sleeps Justin Gaethje. And then the fight, an interview after, they're like, Max, why did you do that? Like, you're winning the fight. Why would you do that to Justin Gaethje that can put anybody to sleep with one shot? He's like, he would have gave me that same respect if I was if I was down on the scorecards, he would have gave me that same respect. Yes. But then he's like talking about Justin. He's like, I felt the wind from his punches and that hurt. Like, he was just being super respectful and awesome.
Yes.
And I'm like, that is what I love about the sport of MMA. Again, two guys fighting in a bar. I can't watch it. It makes me sick to my stomach. I hate it. But the sport in itself is amazing to me.
Mikey, I'm telling you here first, man. I didn't see it. I don't watch the fights. I always was a 97, won the ticket every morning. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about that, which isn't local news. But it was such a big thing that they made a whole segment about that. They had people calling in. What was your moment of sports or whatever it was where you can rewind that clip over and over again? You know what I mean? Some people had like Cabrera hitting this certain bow out. Mm-hmm. But like one of the dudes said that, and they had like this whole segment on it. And I'm listening to him explain it like you were explaining it. And I fucking thought, oh my, without seeing anything. I'm driving without seeing it. And I'm like, this is one of the coolest fucking most, like, two motherfuckers that respect each other that much to you know what I mean? Especially for him to invite him. Like, I what I'm trying to say is, I got it.
Craziest part, too.
I got it.
That picture of Bronco I was telling you about, mm-hmm. holding the towel, the guy holding the other fucking end of that towel is Justin Gaethje. Oh, no, at sure. That Detroit card, yeah. For the weigh-ins, helping out, like, they respect each other that much.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So that respect, that moment, that respect, how cool that was and all this, everything that comes around it, like, you'd never know what could happen in crazy. UFC. I thought, man, that's so fucking dope to me. Like,
so cool.
You're hearing it here first. I'm going to start fucking with UFC. Not because I don't want to fuck with it or anything, but I'm going to make time to try to start, like, watching UFC.
It's fun, and getting, man.
Just because, man, that's a level of respect, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love boxing. I always love boxing. That's always going to be number one to me. But you're already sitting in the middle training. You know what I mean? In UFC, there's so much more shit that goes into it for them to invite each other out. And this isn't like a cocky, arrogant thing. This is a respect thing.
100%.
And I felt it without watching it. That's how crazy that moment was that they were talking about to me that I'm listening. I wasn't even seeing it.
Did you see the clip though?
I seen the clip now. Okay, yes, yeah. I've seen it all now. But at the time though, I was driving and I'm like, oh my God, 97 won on the ticket early in the morning. It's like 7-8 in the morning. And I'm like, dog, that's fucking nuts how that went down. How they described it. I didn't even see it.
Crazy.
That's dope. Did you watch it out there?
So we were actually in Palm Springs, and then it was just it was a crazy day. So I got to watch the first prelim fight. So I want to watch Cody Garbrandt fight Davison Figueroa. I wanted Cody to win, lost. Everybody, like, this is a thing. If you ever want to win money on fights, call me, ask for my picks, bet against my guy, you'll win money.
Okay.
That's a common knowledge thing.
Okay.
So I got to watch that fight, and that was it. And then we were on the road coming back to Palm Springs. And I really wanted to watch it because it was such a stacked card and so amazing. But I'm like, that time with the family, I'm like, I'm not going to plan a day around watching the fights. You know, I wanted to so bad. Like, if it would have worked out, I'd have been super happy. But I wasn't making sure it worked out, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. This weekend for me was like on the boxing tip. And I won't go whole deep dive.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, the Haney and Garcia. Yeah. But it was like kind of, it was cool. It was bittersweet, though. He didn't make weight.
Garcia. So that's where I was a little confused by, because I'm not, I don't know a lot of it. Yeah.
Well, first thing you got to do is make weight. Otherwise, the contract's kind of void as far as like a title. So even though Garcia won, he didn't win the title because he didn't come in at weight. Like, you have to make weight.
And everybody's talking about the title. You know, the spectacular like performance by him, but it's like, I don't know. I just feel like he doesn't deserve it because he didn't make weight. To me, that's like the
right. So he step didn't get one. It. Yeah, he didn't get it. He didn't get the title.
So he didn't get the title.
No,
he lost. He paid what's his name? I think like $1 million or something. He lost a bet because that guy bet he wouldn't make weight. From what I hear, so he paid that debt. So I'm like, you already went into it knowing you're not going to make weight, and I know it's like he still looked great, but when you're heavier.
Okay, but yeah, here's the difference between boxing, and it's this is the part of boxing that I don't like. So there's so many politics in it. Whereas UFC, and I give Dana White a lot of credit, because you fucking fight. That's what you do. You know what I mean? It doesn't fucking matter. You just fight. The best fight's the fucking best. That's it. There is no politics. I mean, I'm sure there's some politics, but I'm saying not as much as boxing. Boxing, there's a lot of politics. There's a lot of roads you pass you have to take to be in that top contender and do all this other shit. But like, not for them, because they're both deservingly being there. But Garcia, and I don't know what the, I don't go by what the announcers and the all these people say. I go by like people that I fuck with in boxing. You know what I mean? They say, hey, Garcia is actually like an underdog in this, right? So even though he didn't make weight, I think what happened, this is my interpretation of watching the fight. What I think that happened is he already didn't make weight, so he already knows he's kind of screwed. He fights a little bit more with a little bit more swag, a little bit more not give a fuck, because like he can try some things. He can, you know what I mean? He can be in his shit because it's like, well, I'm the underdog. Second of all, I didn't make weight, so we'll see what happens there. You know what I mean? And so he just fought whatever he wanted to fight. But I think in boxing, as far as a card, as far as him bringing money into the sport, because that's the politics. Unfortunately, that's the politics that get you that the fights, the title fights and all this stuff, is that how many people you're going to fucking pack the seats with. And I think by his performance, they're like, oh, well, we'll pay to see him again and again now because of what he did. You know what I mean? To Haney, who was supposed to be better than him.
I did see like a clip. I didn't watch the fight.
But boy, oh boy, the way Garcia played him with that hook. And here's the thing.
Is that the one that they say is like the fastest punch?
Yes.
I didn't even see it until they slowed it down. I had to keep watching. I'm like, this is a stage fight. Because I'm like, that guy didn't get hit by nothing. Now he's wobbling. Exactly. And they had to slow it down.
From different angles and shit. And then you see,
holy shit.
This motherfucker's a bad...
I didn't even see him swing.
He's a bad motherfucker, man.
But you know what I hate?
Bad motherfucker.
I wish he would have made weight, because it would have just stamped so much more for him.
Yeah.
But missing weight and then chugging a beer after you miss weight, like...
You know what's really fucked up, too? Is that he missed weight, and I could be off. Please fact check me, and I'm no expert. I'm just talking right now. I want to say it was something like 4 pounds.
I heard three, but...
That's a lot. That's a lot in this sport.
That's like not even trying, I feel like.
Exactly. That's a lot. 3 pounds is a lot, man. A lot in this sport. And that's what I'm saying. Like,
and then he talks about, I seen the post fight. He's like, I drank every night. I was partying. Like, are we supposed to respect you? Like, you miss weight by 3 pounds. And then you're bragging about going out and drinking every night. Yeah, you're still that good. Like, I'll give him that. I'm not trying to take anything away from him.
But
it's like, at least do job one.
But
make weight.
Yes.
Take it serious and respect the guy you're fighting.
Especially the people that fuck with boxing like that. But the way I am a fan, or I watch UFC, when it's a big card or I'm with you or something, right, is the same way. Like, there might be some fans that are fans of, just on the cusp of being fans of boxing. You know what I mean? And that controversy, all this different shit.
Yeah, no,
that's sure. The bad part about it is, like, nowadays, every sport, there has to be some type of storyline. Everything's wrestling now, right? We're talking about wrestling. Everything's wrestling now. There has to be some type of storyline. There's going to be something else.
It keeps entertaining, though.
And it does. And that's what I'm saying, though, is that like that's Garcia didn't he didn't lose something by this. He won the fight. Yes, he didn't make weight, but he actually gained, I think, some people talking about him.
For sure. I mean, it did nothing but great things for him.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about. And that's why I was like.
It's fucked up for Haney.
I was taken back. I'm like, why is nobody talking about, yeah, he did this, but he missed weight. Like, why are nobody's focusing on that?
Because that's the world we're in.
He's amazing. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But, I mean, let's talk about the facts. And that plays into it to me.
That's the world we're in, man.
Would it have still played out the same? Probably.
I mean, look at the
But I want to see even playing field of same weight, same weight.
Yes, you know what I mean? Me too. Because that's part of it.
I'm sure it'd probably play out the same. Who knows?
Probably, maybe not. I don't think. Maybe not. I don't know.
We'll never know.
But that's the kind of thing, though, man. I'm talking about the age that we're in. All these combat sports. You know what I mean? Like back in the day, man. Like the best fought the best. And I'm talking about back to fucking Joe Louis to fucking Joe Frazier to fucking Muhammad Ali to George. I'm talking about all the fucking greats. Lennox Lewis, even Mike Tyson, all that shit back then, right? I'm even talking about like the motherfucking cult, like the trilogies and shit, man, because I mean, the Felix Trinidad, bro, there's so many fucking fight. Like nowadays, there's something that comes with everybody, like the Charo brothers, mm-hmm. right? There's just something fucking like Tank, like there's some type of story behind it. It's almost wrestler type to where there's a lot of great fighters. Man, I've seen a lot of great fighters, especially when I was in Arizona. Shout out to Old School Boxing. Shout out to Robert Joe, Rico Hoy, and Hoy Boxing Club. And there's just a lot of great clubs out there. And you see some fighters come through, and it's like if they just had that little bit of name recognition or there was some type of backstory, you know what I mean, that kind of jumped them over just a couple of hoops, they'd be in that Vegas ring. You know what I mean? It's wild to think like that's where we're at now. And I'm not blaming boxing.
It's just the world we live in.
It's the world we live in.
Even Conor. I mean, Conor plays a character. You know what I mean?
Man, fuck Conor and that character he played in New Motherfucking Roadhouse.
You didn't like it?
Man, come on, man.
You didn't like it, the movie?
I actually enjoyed it. I did enjoy it as entertainment-wise. You know what I mean? Obviously, Roadhouse 1 is always going to be the best, right? But, bro, you know what I really enjoyed? I really enjoyed Jake Gyllenhaal being this smirky, laughing. I actually enjoyed that character. So far-fetched. But still, I enjoyed an entertainment, but I enjoyed that motherfucking.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was actually pretty fucking good. It was exactly what we thought it was going to be. Yeah, it's not going to be realistic, obviously, right? But I honestly think Conor did a good job. I do. But me being the fucking Homer, Roadhouse Homer, man, fuck Conor with his bitch ass. He could have fucking went somewhere else after the shit. He wanted to come back. You know what I mean? He wanted to come back and get kilted it, man.
I agree.
Get kilted it, man. Why you had to come back to get kilted it? That man ain't owe you nothing after that, man.
I agree. Can't even argue with you.
Dog, when he pulled up on the boat.
Crazy.
When he pulled up on the boat, I was like, this motherfucker don't. He's still in the movie?
Yeah.
I thought that was it for Conor right before that. I'm like, okay, now it's going to end with the, you know, with old girl's dad and shit. You know what I mean? Being buddy-buddy with the Kingpin's son. Like, all this shit, I was like, oh, Conor's out of there. This motherfucker shows up. In only Conor McGregor fashion. His walk and everything, bro. He played that shit.
Rick was like, I think he was just kind of like a dialed up version of himself.
That's like, it. Yeah. Conor McGregor as Conor McGregor.
Whenever he went and danced with the guy's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
There was a couple cheesy parts where I was like, with the golf club and coming in. I don't know. His entrance to me. Every time he entered somewhere, I was like, okay, a little bit much. Okay.
But I think it was supposed to be that way. But it is
supposed to. Yeah, that's supposed to be the whole
over the top thing.
You know. Biggest gangster of that movie is who?
Biggest gangster of the movie? I don't know who you're going to say.
The bookstore's owner of the bookstore's daughter.
The daughter?
What was her name? Charlie, I think.
I don't know. April hated her.
Really?
Yeah.
Bro, she ain't had no fear. I mean, she fucked up shit because she didn't fear anything.
That's she how the whole didn't shit, have any fear, but
they would have just got out of there, but she wanted to pick up that bat and everything. But I'm saying, though, that's like a little subtle part where it's like, I don't know, I root for the fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Root for the underdog.
I love it, but it's also like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Nothing. That's the whole thing. She didn't think in her mind. She was just like, I fear nothing.
Same, like, even going back to Conor McGregor grabbing that guy's girl, right,
mm-hmm.
to dance with her. First of all, the girl that accepted and danced with him.
She's toxic, bro.
Toxic.
Soon as I seen that scene, I thought about when we had that fucking game with Derek, Dr. D.
With Jenny. She's talking about Jenny.
Toxic motherfucker.
She was another Jenny.
Yep. Okay, sorry.
Her, she was in the wrong.
Okay.
By letting him disrespect your man like that, and dancing with him, boom.
Boom.
Him still not doing, I don't know, maybe I take it back. Because she went and danced with him. So maybe as a clear-minded man, you're like, all right, if she's going to do that, ain't worth the bullshit. But I don't care how big the dude is. If some dude tries doing that to April, and I know I'm going to sleep, I'm at least getting one.
I'm fighting for
you know what I mean? But the fact that she did walk, maybe it was good of him. Like, am I going to fight the dude for her? I'm not fighting for her. She walked away from me.
Yep.
Fuck her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fuck her and fuck Jenny.
But there's a difference. You don't know if they're married or not. You and April are married. There's a difference. And you guys are ride or die. You would never even have to worry about that.
But Conor, no, I'm not saying I got to worry about
no,
that.
No, but I'm saying like Conor in that didn't situation. Know
if they were married or he had no idea.
No, that's what I'm saying. Was he was just saying, I'm trying to disrespect the guy.
Right.
Right. Whereas he did. And she was toxic about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's still, like, even that's her going,
it's on her.
Should he have taken that disrespect and still reacted? You know what I mean? Like, would you fight for, you know what I mean? Would you fight for a toxic person that you know you're walking away from after that situation?
A girlfriend?
When you know you're probably going to lose?
A girlfriend? I wouldn't fight because, this is me. I wouldn't fight for that, for her, because you're toxic. You fucked up. You know what I mean? If that's what you want to do, go. But here's where the fucking
disrespect.
Here's where the fucking dumb me comes in.
Like, you can have her. I don't want her. But it's the point you disrespected me.
But you just like, I'm the guy that you come up and do that to.
Right.
That's what I'd be fighting over.
Right.
Biggest toxic person in that movie.
I would have to say her.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Who?
The bar owner. Don't you ever fucking put me in a situation you don't tell me the whole motherfucking deal.
True.
That's toxic. True. For her own gain, selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it a buck.
Fuck them both.
Probably one of my favorite characters. The fucking bartender.
Oh, yeah.
That chick?
Yeah.
Well, and the other bouncer. And the other bouncer
guy, yeah.
And the other bouncer.
Yeah.
But the bartender, though?
Yeah.
The chick? She was dope. I liked her. I liked
the other bartender guy. He was cool. Because he started feeling tough, like...
Yeah,
and he was a badass, but...
You know who he was? He was also in the latest Fargo series. You don't fuck with Fargo?
I didn't see it.
Oh, he's a fucking douchebag in that.
Really?
Yeah, it was the first thing I've ever seen him in was Fargo, and then I see him in that, and I was like, oh, okay, you kind of won me back over. Yeah, he was a big douchebag in Fargo. Big, like, he's one of them characters that are toxic you don't like.
I want to watch Fargo the movie.
You ever seen Fargo the movie?
No, my uncle talks about it all the time.
You gotta fuck with that.
Put it to my watch list.
Put it to your watch
list. Got a long list.
You know what else should go on the watch list? It's every fucking episode of Langer Playing Podcast. I believe this is like episode, I want to say 14 or 15, bro. We're moving along, man. We're moving along. We have so much. We're just getting started.
I can't wait. Like this new shit.
We got so much cool new shit going on. Sorry for the wait, but we've been trying to do some things behind the scenes. And so we're going to keep giving you content, but we got some dope ass content coming.
I mean, it sucks because we're all busy. Like, we all have a lot of crazy shit going.
It's hard to get us.
And trying to do this at the same time. Like, we're getting there.
No, we're almost there. And the summer's coming. It's going to be perfect timing, man. The summer's getting nice out. Like, you're going to see us out in the wild. We got some things planned for the people, man. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Man, let's go ahead and roll up out of this motherfucker right here, dog.
Sounds good.
So, fuck it, man. Without further ado, man, we ain't got Drewski to say later, dude. So, we're just going to give it a motherfucking wheels up.
Wheels up.